We're doing one with no fruit whatsoever. Personally, I'm looking forward to eating it almost as much as I'm looking forward to finding out about the science of jelly and fruit. So we will be back later on in the show.
And we'll be joining Ben and Dave as they test out their party food concoctions later on. But what do you think's going to happen? If you think you know why jelly might act differently with different fruits, do let us know. Our email address is chris@thenakedscientist.com.
Thank you, Kat. And if you have any questions for us about the science of obesity, the genes of obesity, or epigenetics, that's what Lucilla studies, she's coming on shortly, then send them in too.
Lifting the lab coat on the world's best science, The Naked Scientists.
This is The Naked Scientists with Dr. Chris Smith and Dr. Kat Arney, and we're talking this week about the genes that cause you to gain too much weight and also the hormones that regulate your weight. And someone who's an expert on that is from Imperial College, Professor Steve Bloom. Hello, Steve. Welcome
Hello
to The Naked Scientists. Let's put some numbers on it, first of all. How big a problem now is obesity?
About 80 excess deaths a day in the UK at the moment. So that's an awful lot of people who are dying prematurely. It's a really serious condition.
Linked to what sorts of things? What are these people dying of?
Well, mostly heart disease, stroke, diabetes. But really the interesting thing that we found only recently is it virtually doubles your cancer rate. So it's rather more serious for cancer than is, let's say, cigarette smoking.
Do you have any clue as to why it might do that?
Well, for certain sorts of cancer, for example, cancer of the uterus or breast, hormones get converted in fat tissue into something that's more deleterious for you. But actually, several other types of cancer are affected, which don't have any real reason. So we assume there's some sort of growth factor, but actually don't know the details. All we do know is if you do something about the obesity, the cancer rates drop back again. So it looks as if it really is the cause.
Some people have suggested that because our body strives to maintain a constant body weight, that if you take too many calories in, it has to burn off some of that excess, and that in the process of burning off some of the excess, it could produce harmful chemicals, things like free radicals, that will damage your DNA, and that could provoke cancer.
People have been attempting to find something about free radicals for a very long time, and so far it remains rather theoretical. And in fact, metabolic rate isn't very much affected by obesity. It turns out that in the UK we've been eating, if anything, slightly less, but we have in fact been taking a lot less exercise over the last 20 years, and the reason for us getting fatter is that we have a mismatch between the amount we eat and the amount of exercise we take. We're actually eating slightly less.
So why are we seeing these record levels of obesity? What's going on?
Well, basically, you don't walk up the stairs anymore. You take the elevator. I was reading an old history book, and somebody living in London wanted to go to Brighton, so he walked. Would anyone walk to Brighton today?
Would anyone go to Brighton today? No, I'm just joking. Just joking. But let's look at actually how appetite gets determined and controlled in the body. So what do we now understand about what makes me want to put food into me and then stop eating when I'm full?
Well, it's completely normal to want to overeat. We're a species that survived endless famines, and the people that lived through the famine were the people that put on extra weight when there was food around. And indeed, you can think of it during the summer when there's a harvest or lots of game to catch. If you don't put on more weight, you won't live through the lean winter. And so we're designed to get fat. And the trouble is that the supermarkets are providing us with delicious food, high-calorie food, all the time, all through the year, in fact, year in and year out. So we have, relatively speaking, too much food. And as I say, we don't take enough exercise.
But as you say, our genes are dictating that we store this energy. But how are our genes telling us to behave the way that we do, to overeat?
Well, that's just the way we're designed. If you didn't overeat when food was plentiful, you died out in the next famine. So we are the survivors of endless famines. We are the people that stole the last crust of bread. And actually, rather interestingly, if you use up too much energy, you also don't live. So you can describe the human race as greedy and lazy.
It's a present thought, isn't it? But one thing to point out, Steve, I mean, what about the fact that hormones must have a role to play in this? Because I feel full when I eat something. I can also detect changes in the levels in the blood of various chemicals. So tell us a bit about those.
Well, if we think of something like a vole or a mouse or a rat, if they don't get into their hole in a hurry, they get eaten. And we know that predation of small mammals, and we are evolved from small mammals that lived through the dinosaur era, predation increases as they get fat and they can't get away quite so fast. So it's really rather important not to allow obesity to get out of control. So we do indeed have hormones which regulate our appetite. And our own research has been on the very simple question, why do you feel less hungry after eating lunch?
What are you finding?
Well, we find that the gut releases a lot of satiety-inducing hormones. So when you take food in, the hormones are released from the gut, go around the circulation, act on a central part of the brain called the hypothalamus, where all the drives are located, and decrease your desire to eat. And, of course, this gives quite an interesting therapeutic possibility, as you might imagine.
But the fact is that some people do eat too much, so, and they weren't always fat. So why is it that some people gain weight and other people seem to be able to eat whatever they like and they don't?
Well, if one assumes that our appetite level is set too high for modern society, what you might call the obesogenic environment with delicious food and no need for exercise, then we're all following our natural genetic propensity to put on weight in this sort of environment. Now, it's obvious that some people put on more weight than others, and in fact, a tendency to put on more weight runs very, very markedly in families. So if your parents were overweight, you tend to be overweight. If your parents were thin, you tend to be thin. And this is true even if you're an orphan and brought up in another household. So if your parents are thin but you're brought up in a fat person household, you still stay thin. So genes are very, very important. But they're the add-on to the obesogenic environment. In other words, what they do is they allow you to deal with an obesogenic environment or otherwise. One of the most interesting things about the human race is our tremendous variability. It was clearly an advantage that some people were good at firing arrows and other people were good at cooking and looking after the children. And so it seems that some of us are good at surviving famines and others of us are thin and lithe and able to fight off the enemy, and that a successful tribe has representatives of both.
It's a bit like those ant colonies that have an ant that just acts as a living larder where all the other ants feed it and it becomes stuffed with sugar, and then during the hard times it disgorges some of this sugar and keeps the other ants alive again. But let's focus on the hormones that are doing this, because that's probably the area of most interest now, because they're relatively recently discovered. What mediators of appetite do we know about now?
If I can just step back and say we have no very good treatments for obesity, no medicines that you can take that'll destroy your appetite. But there is one procedure that really works and gets fat people to be thin and thin for the next 20 years, and that's bypass surgery, which bypasses the upper gut. And basically what that does is it fools the gut into thinking something's wrong. It's eaten a lot of food when actually it hasn't. And it then releases a lot of these hormones, and we can measure them and show that they're very high. So this successful surgical procedure works by chronically increasing the release of these satiety hormones from the gut. The trouble with the surgery is it's got a 1 in 30 death rate, and it's really quite expensive and pretty arduous. So on the whole, I'd rather not go in for the surgery if I had an option. The objective of our research is to isolate these hormones, purify them, make them long-acting, and then make them available as some sort of therapeutic administration to chronically restrain people's appetites as if they had something wrong with their gut, so that they don't feel hungry all the time and therefore can lose weight.
And have you got any molecules that might show promise in this direction yet?
Yes, we've got several. In fact, we successfully set up a spin-out company which developed one and began to administer it in humans, and has now been adopted by a large pharmaceutical company as one of their